He was born in Indiana, and he lived to be 95. He was called to be an evangelist, and it says through the next 60 years, he filled churches and emptied saloons. His wife left him at an early age so she could enjoy the things of the world. He said he sought to woo her back to Jesus. She died 3 years later, diseased and alone. He fell into depression, and he said to himself, "No one cares. No one cares." But he heard a voice within that says, "I care."
Amen.
It was Jesus. And so he sat down and wrote this song in only 20 minutes and set it to music. He sang this song into his 92nd year, asked in all the churches he visited to sing this one particular song. His name, Charles Weigel. His song, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus."
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared.
Paper today, the headline was, it just says, "Keep your fingers crossed. The Powerball is at $9,500 million. I don't know. Your chances of winning is about 2 million to 1. And stupid people keep buying, huh? And, you know, just keep your fingers crossed. You know, cross your legs, cross your eyes, hope everything comes out." Aren't you glad you don't have to live that way with choices you have to make? God says in our verse here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's all read it together there. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall..." I want you to look at the last part. "He shall." Is that a promise? If you do the first part, he shall direct your paths. If you want God to show you the choices and the decisions you need to make on a daily basis, keep the first part, okay? And He shall direct your path. Now, many times we want to see our path about a mile, two, or three down the road. But in the Bible days, it was only the path. All you get to see was what your lantern could hold. And your path was very, very, you didn't have too much. And we like a lot today. We in this part of the world have so much. And we know where our meals are coming. Y'all know what you're going to do for lunch today. Most of you know what you're going to do for supper today, huh? Most of you know what you're going to do for breakfast in the morning. You know, we have it in the refrigerator. Is that right? We got it in the freezer. We have it all planned. We don't need God. I hope you still need God. Now, we might have those things covered, but we have hundreds of things we don't have covered. Is that right? And I hope you see your need for God all the time. You know, right now I have a pain right here. Pain in the side. It's Ron Lee. No. It's pain in the side. Oh, pain in the neck. Okay. I have a pain in my side, and I looked on the internet. You know, they have a big thing that tells you what organ's over here and what organ's here and what organ's here and what organ's here. I come to the conclusion it may be my gallbladder, my gallstones. But I asked a couple nurses this morning, and most of them said it's probably muscles that you haven't used for 1,000 years. And you just used them, and it's saying, and I don't take ibuprofen or Tylenol. I hate that kind of stuff. He says, why don't you take some ibuprofen and see if it takes care of it? And if it does, it's just muscle. And I go, you know, I'd rather worry about it. Come on. And, you know, but it has made me stop and look up to heaven a lot. And at night when it hurts, I pray. I need God. God, I need you here. I need God all the time. If we would just see that. And He promises, I shall direct your everyday paths. Trust me. We're going to go over that verse a little bit more. But it's wonderful to catch that and realize, wow, that's good. I'm going to preach this week and next week on the will of God. I might preach longer. Each of you got a paper this morning on the 8 steps of knowing the will of God. I want you to know those papers have holes in them. Why do papers have holes in them? So you can look at people. Why do they have holes in them? Next Sunday, I know my secretary is going to love this statement. Next Sunday, I have 26 pages for you. I went through the Bible. I went through the entire Bible this week and looked up all the commands in the New Testament. Are we to obey all the commands in the New Testament? You know, that's the will of God. In one of my parts of this paper, I expect you to go home and read this because next week I'm going to refer to this. Bring this back next week. In one of the points it says 98% of the will of God for your life is in the Bible already. 98% of your will of God. Now, I don't know where you got 98, but 98%, that means a lot of it. I might say 90, you know, I don't know. But a lot, it's already written. We don't have a choice, you know. Well, what am I to do that? You know, am I to go get drunk? What's the answer? No. Am I to go steal something? Do I need to pray about stealing? No. You know, am I to go curse my neighbor out? No. You know, there's a lot in the Bible telling you. Am I to lose my temper? Am I to not have self-control? There's a lot of self-control in the Bible. And there's a lot in the Bible. For next Sunday, in your paper, let me see, it's on the inside of the first page. On the inside of the first page, about in the middle, it's green. It is 1 Thessalonians 5, 11-22. I want you to read that passage. That is a great passage. It gives you all these things. Rejoice, pray, and for this is the will of God for your life. It says it plainly. This is what you are to do. Now, nobody turn there. That's for next Sunday. And but the eight steps here are so important. And the first one is just simply walk with God. Where you are, just walk with God. If you're a teenager, start putting God in your everyday life. Just start thinking with God and talking with God and just walk with Him. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Live with Him. Take Him to school. God, take Him to basketball practice. Take Him to music practice. Take God with you. And then, and those are the two verses I'm using this morning in under walk with God in the brown there. And then the second one is surrender your will to His will. Jesus simply said, not my will, but what? That's a big one too. That's a big one. Because most time we're looking for God to put approval on what we want to do. That's why we have a struggle. God, I want this. And you haven't given it to me yet. And so, you know, if you don't have it yet, you must not have what? Needed it. And you got to surrender to His will. If you're going to find God's will, you got to first note that I'm going to start walking with Him, because the closer I get to Him, the closer He gets to me. And no matter where you are, all of us could walk a little closer to God. Is that right? Hope you know that. Oh man, I don't walk to... I don't feel I walk close enough to God. Hear me? I don't think you're supposed to feel. Did Paul feel that he had arrived? No. When you compare yourself to the Almighty, wow. Is that right? And you realize, wow, I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to try to get as close as I can. And then I'm going to surrender my will. And I'm a pretty selfish person. Can my will stick out more than God's will? I want this. And God says no. And wow. And then the third one is just to obey. Obey the Bible you're supposed to know. That's where it says that 98% is in the purple there. Under number three, the 98% of the all of the Bible is already written, and the 98% of the will of God's already told you. So I'm going to write out, I have 26 pages of Bible verses that I want you and your family to start going over. They're great. They just tell you how to live. These are not doctrinal passages. These are not promises. This is what you do. This is how you live. How you make choices. Does the Bible tell us how we are to go to court with people or not to go to court with people? Bible's straight up on that. Straight up on that. The Bible tells us how to do that. How to approach people that are mean to us and harsh to us and like our enemies. And the Bible tells us that. It tells us how to be married, how to be parents, how to be children, how to be employees, employers. All right? It tells us everything. And I think the biggest problem of people say, I just don't know the will of God. If you would know the Word of God, you would know the will of God. Simple. Simple. And so I've gone through the whole New Testament, and I wrote it all up, and we'll have that for you next week. I didn't think you could take all 26 pages at once. Okay? But put this in a notebook. I expect that the next Sunday. And... because I believe we need this, because today we have too much misunderstanding and the will of God. Well, God told me to do this. Lean not to thine own understanding. That's heavy. And that's heavy stuff. Number four is circumstances. Does God work through circumstances? All the time. We're going to see that in our text this morning. Number five on the third page. Pay attention to how you're wired or how you're weird. No, wired. And see your gifts. Do all of us have some gifts? Did God gift every person here to serve Him in some way? Now, sometimes it's hard to figure that out. Usually figured out by somebody saying, oh, you're good at this. You're good at these twos and threes. Oh, you know, you're good at these teenagers. You're good with these senior citizens. You're good. You're good at the jail ministry. Is that right? You're good at the nursing home. Boy, you're a good prayer. Is that right? And you realize, you bless me when you pray. God has gifted you, so note that. Look for that. Now, sometimes, I don't know many of my gifts. I don't think I have too many. I'm glad at my ordination council they didn't say, Michael, what gifts do you have from God? I've been at some, and they just list them. I'm going, boy, I'm glad they didn't ask that to me and mine. I wouldn't say, I don't know. And I'm just glad he used me every once in a while. And then number six is listen to the Spirit. This one is probably abused the most because our flesh is in there pushing. And the Holy Spirit, if you have the Word of God filled up on you, you won't have a problem with being Spirit-led. We have a whole movement of the charismatic movement that just moves in different directions. And they just move by feelings more and their flesh. And then the seventh one, listen to your heart for peace. That's a good one, but that can be misused too, our feelings. Our feelings and our flesh are very close. And that's why you got to be saturated with the Word and surrendered to His will. And then we can listen to the Spirit and listen to our heart that has a heart for God. And the last one is seek input from other people, from wise people, mature people, Spirit-filled people, praying people, Bible-reading people. We're going to see this in our text here also to realize, wow, that's just wonderful. I just wanted you to think of these things and to realize, I want you to go home and read these. I want you to learn them as parents, and it's your job to teach them to your teenagers, get the teenagers to listen to them. Teens are very interested in this. What does God have for me? What is my next step in life? What is my careers? Who am I to date? What am I to do? Am I to get my driver's license? What am I going to do? All these issues. Who are to be my friends? A lot of choices. That's why we got to have this and have it really good in our lives. And it's wonderful there. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord. We got to walk with Him right there. With all thine heart. Listen to your heart when you're trusting in the Lord. And then it says, lean not on your own understanding. I think that's the biggest statement there. I don't trust myself when I'm looking at some things because my flesh is powerful and I've made some, my feelings are there. In the Old Testament, there were dreams. And God spoke by dreams. God spoke by visions. Is that true? We have the completed New Testament. Now I like some dreams sometimes, and I've had a few dreams that I felt God was talking to me or leading me in a direction, a general direction. But God speaks through His Word in our time of the New Testament and the Holy Spirit. And the Old Testament, it wasn't written. They didn't have written scripture until Moses. Okay? Until Moses, God had to speak. Michael! And they spoke in the New Testament time to Mary and Joseph and all of that, and the wise men. God spoke, and God does lead. But I would be careful to someone that's telling me, God told me in a vision that I'm to do this. God told me in a dream. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. And now, does God? I love it when about 5 in the morning, when I study all night or study in the evening and go to bed, my subject comes back to my mind about 5 in the morning. I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking, oh, good point here. I'm just too lazy to get up and write it down. But it would be good to get up and write it down. Because God does, when you flood your mind, I've only heard one preacher say that's what you do when you preach. Charles Stanley said, it's best to study your subject and go to bed. And he said, God will talk to you all night long. And that is just really true. And in the night visions, there's times when God, oh man, that's great. That's great. And you remember it. But it's really something to catch that. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't trust everything that pops in your mind. Do you know how that's how most cults get started? that we have these men. Hobart Freeman. Now, y'all remember Hobart Freeman of the Glory Barn with all the healing and all of that? And he was at Grace Seminary. Dr. Whitcomb was with him. He was a great mind. Dr. Whitcomb said there was not a greater mind than Hobart Freeman. And one day he was teaching at Grace Seminary, and Dr. Whitcomb says, "Where did you get this teaching?" He says, "God's talking to me." And he says, "That's not in the Bible, bud. It's not in the Bible." And he got all, that's where all the people were not going to doctors, remember that? And they were dying and all over the place. A couple years ago, was that in Syracuse? Was that down in Syracuse? Okay. Get out of Syracuse. And but you know, this guy, he started, everything that came in his mind was from God. We had neighbors that went there, and they would tell them when they were going to have, "You're going to have a baby next year." The girl, remember, she bought clothes, bought baby clothes and everything. It was great depression to her because God told me. And they even have a chair where before it folded up, because he died of gangrene. You know, he should have gone to the hospital. But he was against all that because God told him. No, it's written in the Bible. 90% of everything you need to know about God's Word is right here. And the Holy Spirit says in John, it says, "He will not speak of Himself. He will speak of Me." So the Holy Spirit always leads to the Word of God. And that's why we're a Bible church. Does that make sense? And if you're wanting to know God's will on a subject, get you a topical Bible and look up that subject and read all the verses on that subject. Is that pretty simple? And that's how you know God's will. And God talks about a lot of things. And the problem is, in our day, we have people that call themselves Christians that don't read the Bible. And they're wanting to be led by God, and the Bible's not the steadfast. They're not walking with God. They're not submitted to God. They're not obeying God. How will you know what God's doing? They're just trusting their heart, their emotions, their feelings. And it's really sad to catch that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. I don't know. God does. Catch this. In all thy ways, your circumstances, acknowledge Him, obey Him, be Spirit-led, and He shall direct your path. That's a promise. Let's all go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, the text this morning. Everybody there. Genesis 24 is about Isaac getting his wife. One of the greatest passages on understanding the will of God in the Bible. The Old Testament was written for our examples. We do not obey the law of the Old Testament. When Jesus died on the cross, He fulfilled all of the Old Testament. We do not obey the feast days, the Sabbath days. We do not do the offerings. We do not do all of that. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled it all. That's the Old Testament. We are not under the law, book of Galatians, but we are under the law of the New Testament. That's why next week I'm going to bring a whole list of all of the New Testament commands of how we're to live. They're all stated very clearly. But the Old Testament was given for our examples. All of these things were our examples. And most of the Old Testament has the stories of real people and how they responded to God. That's why we have a lot of Sunday school lessons on the Old Testament. And it's wonderful to catch that and realize, wow, that's wonderful. And it's just given for our example. This is not telling you how to go find a bride for your son, okay? You know, first of all, you don't have a servant. You know, you don't have a slave that can go do it. And we're going to learn that this morning. It just says, hey, God's in this, and it's wonderful. Let me read for you a little bit, and then we're going to go through it verse by verse. Genesis 24, verse 3. Verse 3, Abraham is old, and his son is unmarried, and he's trying to figure out how to get a wife. Verse 3. Genesis 24. Everybody there, please. Children, teenagers, everybody there. Verse 3, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom we dwell." Those are the heathens. Don't marry a heathen. Is that a pretty good plan? Don't marry a godless person. Verse 4, "And thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Verse 5, "And the servant said," here's input to him, "peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me." Is that a real case? You know, Abraham says, "I believe God's told me to go seek a wife now. Now, I'm not sure all the particulars, but I'm going to move on it." Ought you move on thoughts like that? Yes. Is it always God's will? Did Abraham know if it was God's will or not? No. So here an input comes from his servant, says, "Hey, I'll go over there. What if she don't follow me?" Is that a possibility? Yeah. What if she doesn't follow me? He says, "But thou shalt go," in verse 5, "And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not follow me into the land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land whence thou camest?" We're going to catch that in a minute. Go to verse 8. "And the woman will be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from thy oath. Only bring not my son thither." Okay, he says, "Hey, go and find this. See if God's in it." And the guy says, "Input. Do you need input from other people? What if she don't follow me?" Well, then you are fulfilled your oath. Because God has spoken. God has said no. And so they're trying out God's will. Verse 11. "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, at the time that women go out to draw water." Pretty wise there. "And he said, O Lord God," here's a prayer, begging the Spirit to talk to him so he could listen. And he says, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I hear by the well of water the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water." Verse 14. "And let it come to pass," he's praying, "that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, and I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels to drink also. Let the same be she," he's still praying, "that thou hast anointed," big statement, "for thy servant Isaac. And hereby I shall know," he know the will of God, "that thou hast showed kindness unto my servant." Powerful there. Verse 15. "And it came to pass, before he had done speaking," isn't God good? "Before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder." And you know the rest of the story. And you go, wow, that's wonderful. And she did everything right. Jump to verse 26. "And the man bowed down his head and worshiped God." God, I trusted in you. I wasn't sure of my own understanding, but in all my ways, I acknowledged you and you led my path. Verse 27, look at it. Verse 26 and 27. "And the man bowed down the head and worshiped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord God of my servant Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." Here's the phrase. Everybody should underline this. "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Big statement. He had to be in the right way. Is that right? He had to trust in the Lord with all his heart and lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I being in the way, I moving humbly towards God's leading to my masters and just seeing, asking God to show me what to do and humble there, but yet pursuing, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. It is so important that we catch this. Put the next slide up. I just wanted you to look at the 8 again. Let's walk through this real carefully again. Chapter 24, verse 1, we see, and just start reading there, we see that he was blessed. In this chapter, he tells the story twice. He reiterates it from Abraham, what live happened, and then he tells it to Nahor, how it all happened. He gives a account of it. So verse 1 and verse 35, look at verse 35. Look at verse 35, he gives a statement here to Nahor of what happened here. And the Lord blessed my master greatly, and he became great. This is the details. And he was given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and manservants and maidservants and camels and asses, donkeys. You know, that God blessed him. He walked with God. Has God promised to bless us if we walk with him? Now, material blessings is a part of it, but spiritual blessings is greater. We had one of the greatest Christmases we could ever had. There was so much unity and harmony. Is that the best thing that goes on? And togetherness. You know, the kids ask, what do you want for Christmas? I want you. Yeah, I want you. Oh, Dad, you know, we get you socks and we get you underwear, you know. I don't care what you get me, you know. I want you. I want peace. Is that right? Peace is wonderful. Laughter is wonderful. Praying, getting serious about God, it's wonderful. And to realize that, wow, this is how God blessed him. Verse 2. Genesis 24, verse 2. He called in his eldest servant, the ruler of his house, and he prayed to him to make swear to him. And he said, swear to me, verse 3, by the God of heaven and earth. I just love that. And now you pick a wife. How old is Isaac here? Chapter 25, verse 20. Everybody look. How old? First one to find it. How old is Isaac when he married the wife? Chapter 25, verse 20. 40. Okay. Does the Bible give us a lot of detail? It's kind of neat. Kind of neat. He's 40 years old. Now, why didn't he go? That was one of my questions. Why did he send his servant? Why didn't he just send Isaac there? You know, the reason is this. Let's keep reading. Verse 3. Swear to me, you will not take a daughter of the Canaanites. Do not marry an unsaved person. Do not marry a worldly person, a godless person. Is that a rule of the Bible? And young people, teenagers, don't even date them. Don't even look. Don't. And he says, don't you dare marry one of these Canaanites, these heathens. He says, you go back to my family back in the land there, and you marry one that knows God. You find a girl that knows God, and you get her for my son. And he says, verse 8, he tells why here. He says, don't take my son thither, verse 8. What was happening? God called him from, verse 6 and 7, God called him from that land, and his seed, verse 7, from that land. And he says, you stay away from that land. You don't go back to that land. So the reason he sent his servant, he says, because he was going to obey God, because God told him to get out of that land and never go back. So he didn't send his son back there because he was obeying God. And he sent a servant to get his wife, but he would not send his son. Wonder if she doesn't come. Shall I take your son and go back there again? No. Why? God said so. God told me to get out, and I'm out, and the blessing is out of that land. The blessing is not in that land. Servant, you go get the girl, and you bring her here. And you realize, wow. Some people use this verse for their rules of dating or their rules of finding a wife. I think parents should be greatly involved in dating. But I think kids should be greatly involved in dating. And there's a togetherness there. I've always said this, if I would have chosen the wives for my children, I would have chosen poorly. They chose. So now they have to love their choice. Let me state this. God knew what he was doing. And every one of us can look at that and realize that. Now, there needs to be a togetherness. Let me tell you, kids, if you're looking to marry and all of that and your parents aren't for it, you better look again. Better look again. That is so important. There should be a togetherness there, but this is not the rule and all of that. I think it's good that we get to talk to our kids about choosing a mate and let them make that choice with our guidance. Great guidance. I think parents should be involved greatly, 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 greatly. But I think kids should choose. And it amazed me how God has intervened and His will done. Also, we need to trust our training and we need to trust our prayers. Is that right? And that's very, very important. So here, Isaac did not go. The servant went, and he went to the land, and God was in it. I love verse 7. And it says, right at the end of verse 7, it says, I will give this land. He shall send His angel before thee. The Holy Spirit's going to be involved. God's there. Abraham says, you do it. God's going to do something. I believe He is. And I don't know for sure. We need to be careful with anybody that says, I know for sure that God told me to purchase this car. God told me, a preacher jump up and say, God told me to build this building over there. God told me to do this. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Lean not to thine own understanding. And acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And circumstances will come to play. Other people will come to play. The Holy Spirit, the life of people around you, circumstances, it's wonderful. And he said, go. I love this guy in verse 9. He goes there. I love verse 10. He gets to the city, the right city. And verse 11, he goes where the women are. He goes on farmersonly.com, you know. No, he goes where the women are, and he sets himself down, and he says, now the women from that village come to this place to water, and I want a girl that's going to water the pots and carry the pot. Is this a pretty stout woman? Carry a big pot? Any of your girls want to carry a big pot and water? And if she watered the camels, do you know how thirsty camels get? Did she do a large task? Did she show some selflessness? Parents, you need to talk to your children. It's a great part of being the right mate, kind of mate, of being not lazy and being sensitive. And girls, you need to do that. Girls looking for a man, they need to look at a man that's got some work ethic and some character. Is that true? That's very important. He was sitting there looking for a godly woman that had some work ethic and that had compassion and that would go the extra mile. And he was sitting there. And she came down and he says, oh God, let the first one I talk to be the right one. I love that. Is the first one always the right one? No. But did God do it? Yes. But he let God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to talk to this one. And Lord, help me, help me, help me. Give me God's speed. Give me God's speed. And she came in and he jumped up and says, give me to drink. And she says, okay, I'll give you to drink, and I'll give all your animals to drink. Wow. That's what we want. And you realize, wow. And he went with haste and ran and was thrilled and gave her prizes there in verse 18 and 19 and 20. And she made haste. And verse 21, the man was just blessed. He held his peace. He wasn't making decisions on feelings. Read verse 21. God had prospered him, but he had already said, now this girl has to be a daughter of Nahor, is that right? Did he know that yet? No. So she had been come and she watered the camels and watered him and everything, and he didn't let his feelings get involved. He held his peace. I love him, verse 21. He held his peace to see whether she was the right girl. She was a girl of character, but he had to see, was she of the family of Abraham? And so he held his peace and he started into checking out, who's your daddy? Verse 23 and 24. And she says, I'm my dad's Nahor. And he realized God had died. I love verse 26 and 27. And then he fell down in worship because he realized God was in it. And you realized he had shown him the way to go because he was patient and he wasn't getting his feelings involved. He didn't get his flesh involved. He was patient. And then he says, I being in the way, I listening to my boss and blessing Abraham and praying and trying to keep in step with him and realize the plan, and he realized God's plan. I'm going to sit here, look for the girl, ask her to give me a drink, ask and see if she will voluntarily give drink to my camels, and it'll happen. And when it has to be a daughter of Nahor, and he had all those things. I walking close to God and obeying God the best I could. He wasn't perfect, and surrendering and not my will but thine be done, and watching the circumstances, God led him. And he didn't know it all till it all come to pass. And when she says, I'm the daughter of Nahor, he says, wow, God's in it. Keep looking down to the end of the text. Let's float down to the end of the text. He says, okay, let her go with me. Let her go with me. Verse 55. Look down at it. Let her go with me. And the mom and the brother spoke up in verse 56 and said, hey, let her stay another 10 days and then we'll let her go. And verse 56, he says, don't hinder me, seeing that the Lord has prospered my way. Can we get in the way of God? My feelings getting away, our flesh getting away. He says, God has said to go, and my master wants to be back as soon as possible, and she said she would go, let's go. And he said, oh, let's wait 10 days. That makes sense sometimes, but they were hindering. Be careful not to hinder from God's will. God's way and God's will was stated here. I love verse 57. Verse 57, he wasn't pushing it. He's not pushy. He didn't know what God was doing. He just saying, I believe we need to go on. How do we know? He says, well, let's ask her. I love verse 57. Let's ask the damsel what she feels. Is it good to get input from other people? Let's ask the damsel. Let's ask the girl. And she says, I'm ready to go. So they went. And God blessed. And verse 67, they were married and they were loved and they blessed one another. God wants to do that in your life, in my life. And we need to trust the Lord. We need to walk with Him. We need to surrender to Him. We need to obey Him. We need to watch the circumstances. We need to check, see how we're gifted. We need to see what's the Spirit doing. What's our heart saying? You know what I'm saying? Don't give in to your feelings. Watch the flesh. And then get input from other people. And God will direct you. Put the next verse up. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then in John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me, that's what we've just been talking about. If you walk with Him, surrender to Him, and my word abides in you, you're obeying it. If you're walking with Him, surrendering Him, trying to obey, it says, whatever you ask, whatever you pray, it shall be given to you. If you're living right and in the Word of God, abiding in Him and His Word abiding in you, will you start praying right? Will you pray selfishly? No. You will want what God wants, it says in there. God will change your wanna. You know, everybody takes that verse and says, oh, I ask what you want. No, it says, if you abide in me, and if my word abides in you, then you ask. Because you'll be asking according to His will, not your will. And you'll be asking according to His word and not your word. And He will answer it. And it's so important that we grasp that and realize God does it. Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs, go to the next one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. Don't trust yourself. Trust Him. You don't know God's will. Most of the time, rarely do I know it before, because we have so many and I'm trying to figure it out. And circumstances, it's hard to catch it. But if I trust God and I wait a while, lean not to my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledge Him. God, I'm trying to move in this direction. God, if You're in it, open doors. If You're not in it, close doors. Is that right? God, help me. It's not my will. It's Thine be done. I'm not God. You're God. I trust You. Don't trust myself. I don't trust all my natural thinking. God, I'm going to acknowledge You in all my ways, acknowledge Him. Lead me, God. Lead me. Listen to His voice. Listen to His leading, not your feelings or not your flesh. And He shall direct thy path. Amen. Put the next one up. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Discovering God's will. Always related to God's Word. So if you're not a Bible person, a Bible reading person, you will not know God's will. You will always be frustrated. And your flesh will always be wanting fleshly things, or your emotions and feelings will always be involved, and you'll just be struggling so much. Walk with Him. Surrender to Him. Obey Him. And then you'll start seeing His moving. Trust Him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, seek Him, acknowledge Him, His will, His way, His word. And He's promised to direct, to show you His will. That's promise. If you abide in Him, and My word, His word abides in you, man, your prayers will be answered. You'll pray His way. Wow, not your way, His way. I want you to read the paper this week. Next week we're going to have more. I want you to put it in a notebook. I really do. You got to get serious about this. You got to teach your children and your teens and your grandchildren and your adults. You got to find it yourself. How to have peace in the simplicity of trusting in the Lord and Him directing your paths. I love it when God shows up in the circumstances of my life.
Amen.
I wish I could tell you it happens every day, every week. It doesn't, okay? Or maybe say, I don't see it, okay? He's at work. And it's wonderful to catch that and to realize that it's not me knowing everything. It's me trusting Him knowing everything. And then when we line up, it's wonderful. Because He's doing something through me. He's doing something through my prayer life. It's the God of all the worlds involved in my little old life. Huh? And you realize, wow. And I can realize and say, God, You lead me. Walk with Him. Surrender to Him. Obey Him. Look for circumstances. Is that right? Lean not to your understanding. Check. Listen to His Spirit. Listen to His heart. Check with other people. God will lead. God will lead. It's wonderful. Keep it simple. We don't have to know everything. And many times it's not till after it happens you realize, oh, this is why I came to this store today. You know, I thought I was needing this and I came here and met this person. Now, God had it for you to meet that person. But you were doing something just to get you a filter. Is that right? And God had a whole different plan. If we would just realize, I got to walk through life normal. Is that right? Normal. But then there's a God in heaven that wants to reach a world. And He wants to use little old me. Huh? And if I need to know, should I buy this or that? Just ask Him, God, lead me. Let circumstances roll. You'll see. God, and you know all the Bible. Next Sunday, I'm going to have a whole list of Bible verses. And it's neat to have them all together. And you can just read through them in an hour and realize that. And just keep going through them. And once you flood your mind with the Word of God, you'll know the will of God. It's wonderful.